O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. So in our lessons this morning, the Old Testament lesson is something you would have heard, is the same lesson you would have heard if you were at Father Ben's ordination, at my ordination, probably Father Gar's ordination, etc., etc. And it's a topic that I'd like to preach on, and it's about evangelism, and we would all be evangelists, and it would have been a great sermon. But instead, I'm standing before you on Trinity Sunday. And now I get, again, 5 years, I think, in a row, get the privilege of trying to tackle the hardest subject there is to tackle and preach on. Last year, Father Gar was at camp, or surgery. Year before, I think it was surgery or camp. And every time I get to hear Nicodemus, but I don't preach on Nicodemus. I get to hear about the tongs picking up the hot coal and touching to. I don't get to preach on that. I get to tackle Trinity. And every year it's the hardest thing to go tackle. Before I begin, I wanted to talk about signs. I am solely convinced that because of the way my brothers and I grew up and how we were as children, with all the injuries and accidents that my parents had to pay for, and all the stitches and broken bones, that the world has come up with the concept of warning labels on everything. In fact, I'm so sure that they're directed to my brothers and myself that the sign that tells me they were is because some of them don't even have writing on them. They just have a picture. John Deere was really good about that. I used to work for a dealership. They had a picture on the blade with a blade and a finger with these digits off. And that's it. That was the signs that we would, you know, we're growing up with. You open up your hood of your car, it says don't insert hand in fan while running. I don't know why you have to be told that, but we all have to be told that. So there's signs around us. And this Trinity is a hard subject to tackle. It is so hard, in fact, that if you look through the Bible anywhere, Trinity is not used at all. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. The word Trinity and the concept of Trinity and the Trinity doctrine came about from our forefathers and our church fathers that came up with this doctrine, with their God-given reason about the Trinity. It's complex. It's hard to understand. It's very hard to comprehend, and it's a mystery. St. Augustine, there's a story about St. Augustine of Hippo walking along, contemplating this very thing, praying, God, I want to understand you. I want to fully understand you. I can't comprehend the idea of the Trinity. I'm trying. And he is walking along. He looks down at the shore, and he sees this child on the shoreline. And the child digs a little hole and runs to the sea with a little cup, fills it up, and runs back to the hole and pours the water in the little hole. And over, this child continues to do this. So Augustine decides to walk down and say, child, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm emptying the immense sea into this hole. And Augustine says, well, how do you think you can empty the immense sea with a little cup into this little hole you dug? And she says, and you, how do you think you can comprehend the immense God into that little brain? And with that, the child disappeared. It is a hard thing to get to. The Trinity, you've heard, I've preached on it. I think Father Ed's preached on it. And others said, this is a clover. If I take off a leaf, it's still a clover, but it's a leaf. And St. Patrick's analogy. Or the water. If I take water and freeze it, it's a solid. If I take water at room temperature, it's liquid. If I take water and heat it up, it becomes a vapor. It is still water. God, at the Father, is the Creator, at the Son is the Redeemer, and at the Holy Spirit is the Sustainer. It is hard and mysterious. It's hard to comprehend that. Another definition was by Meister Eckhart, defined the Trinity this way. When the Father laughs at the Son, and the Son laughs back at the Father, that laughter gives pleasure, that pleasure gives joy, that joy gives love, and that love is the Holy Spirit. Another definition. There's so many of them, and we all try to tackle it. I can give you complex analogies. I work on the secular job in healthcare. Our healthcare spend is $2.4 trillion. If I take a $1,000 bill, I've never seen, but if I take a $1,000 bill, stack up 4 inches high, that's $1 million. 333 feft high is $1 billion. 63 miles high is $1 trillion. We can wrap our minds around that when we put it in something physical and nature that we can comprehend, that we might be able to rationally think about. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father, it's harder to do that. St. Augustine also believed that he could see God when the sun rises and the sun sets. When he looks at nature, he can see the Creator. He understood that, comprehended that. He is really tied to the physical world. And with his doctrine, I really love studying him as a theologian and philosopher. I relate to him very directly because I believe the same thing. I spend most of my time outside. I grew up outside. I didn't grow up in front of a computer. Where's my daughter? In front of a computer. I grew up outside. I got to experience nature and God and his creation. And with his redemption qualities, understanding that when I come and when we all stand, kneel in a few moments and confess our sins, that God the Father sent his Son to redeem our sin, to die for us so we don't have to be punished and live with those sins. And when we come to him, that we are redeemed and we have a place in his eternal kingdom. I understand that doctrine. St. Augustine understood that doctrine. And with the Holy Spirit, finding the joy in our family, the happiness with amongst each other, in this community, we understand that in the Holy Spirit. One person wrote about the Holy Spirit, Father A meets Mother B, or Man A meets Woman B, and then they have child or children C. Two's a company, three's a crowd doesn't work in Christianity. Two's a company and three's a community is more like it, because that community is bound together by the Holy Spirit, the sustaining joy and love that God sends us. Individually, we can grasp those things. Collectively, as one God, it becomes mysterious. God is everywhere. God is here. God is just. God is merciful. They sometimes sound contradictory. But we don't have to try to comprehend it. As the child said, our little brain can't comprehend the immensity of God. It's just not going to work. However, we can look for the signs. Nicodemus had problems in the gospel we heard, trying to understand what Jesus is saying. He lived in a world that he taught the scriptures, the old scriptures. He lived in a world where he was bound to the creation and the physics and the physical, much like we are. We just need to look around at the right signs. I look outside. Yesterday morning, I spent the morning fishing. I was enjoying the creation. I was enjoying God's creation. And then as I contemplate, because I was alone, I get to think, and I love it. And I think, well, how, you know, all the bad things and good things in my life, and the bad things have been redeemed by the Son. And then my family is the love. You are the love that we experience, the Holy Spirit. We just need to look around more often. When you leave here this morning, take a chance to look at the clouds. It might rain today. Take a chance to look at the bark on the tree, even that tiny of thing, and understand and experience the creation. Take an opportunity when you confess your sins, to rethink about those sins and give them up and feel that forgiveness that God gives you through His Son. And take a moment today and really enjoy the love in your family. Experience that community of St. Thomas after we leave here out in the narthex. You'll experience it. The signs are all around you. You can experience God in each one of those things. We don't have to comprehend and pack that all into this tiny hole. He died and gave this creation. He gave this creation for you individually and me and all of us collectively. He gave His Son to die for each and every single one of you and me and all of us collectively. And He sends His Holy Spirit to sustain us. He sends it to you individually and me and then all of us collectively. It is a very personal relationship that God has with you in all three persons. And it's a very personal relationship God has with all of us collectively as a community in all three persons. Look for the right signs and look for God sharing His creation, His Son, and His Holy Spirit with you. Amen.